I speak in the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Good evening. And it's a pleasure to be here at St. Cross this evening with you for Maundy Thursday. I wonder if any of you have ever made a bucket list of things you want to do before you die. Yes, I see at least one hand, two hands go up. Thank you. So people often do this when they are quite young and healthy and list things like running a marathon, flying in a hot air balloon, or traveling around the world. As people become older, their priorities often change, especially in the face of physical challenges or illness. When a friend of mine knew that she was dying of cancer, her priorities changed dramatically. She quit her demanding job to spend quality time with her young son. She moved from Manhattan Beach to rural Ohio to be near her extended family. She cashed out her retirement savings and bought her husband the sports car that he'd always dreamed of owning. It was the relationships in her life that mattered to her most, and knowing that her only child would be surrounded by loving grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins after she passed. So when Jesus knew that he was going to leave this world soon, he chose to spend quality time with his disciples, those who had been closest to him and loyal to him during his ministry. He celebrated the traditional Jewish Passover meal with them in an upper room in Jerusalem. But this was no ordinary Passover. Jesus had a heavy cloud hanging over him. He knew that one of the disciples at his dining table was going to betray him, hand him over to the authorities, and that this would lead to his death. He knew that this was his last opportunity to have an intimate meal with his disciples and to show them how much he loved them. Halfway through the meal, Jesus chose to put his love for his disciples into action by washing their feet. At the time, it was a sign of hospitality to wash the feet of a guest before they ate, to wash away the dust from walking in sandals on dusty roads. Usually, the foot washing was done by a household slave or a woman or child. So Jesus intentionally took on the role of a slave or someone of lower social status than the male head of the household to do this. And it shocked Simon Peter, who confused washing for hygiene with spiritual cleansing. Jesus tells his disciples that they should do as he has done and reminds them that slaves are not greater than their master. And messengers are not greater than the one who sends them, urging them to have humility, both in their relationships with other people, as well as in their relationship with God. Then Jesus tries to help his disciples understand what is about to happen to him and how it is all for the glorification of God. He gives them a new commandment. And by the way, commandment in Latin is mandatum, and that is where we get the word Maundy from, and why we name this Thursday in Holy Week Maundy Thursday. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Now, there was no direct reference to love in the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses in the Old Testament. Although love for God was kind of implied in the first commandment about not having any other gods, Jesus had expanded the Ten Commandments previously when he had responded to a Jewish lawyer by saying that the greatest and first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, God had told the Jewish people through Moses, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus called this the second most important commandment when he spoke to the same Jewish lawyer. Then in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave the commandment to love your enemies. And here, at the Last Supper, he gives the new commandment to love one another. Loving one another is different from loving your neighbor or your enemy because it is mutual. You may love your neighbor or your enemy, but they may not love you back. In contrast, Jesus expects his followers to have mutual love for each other. By washing their feet, Jesus had given his disciples a tangible, physical example of what this love for one another looks like, even before he put this commandment into words. In a few minutes, we will reenact Jesus' act of washing his disciples' feet. And it is a deeply humbling and spiritual experience for many people in churches today. But some of the context of foot washing has been lost over the past 2,000 plus years. What is a modern day equivalent of foot washing? How do we follow Jesus' commandment to love one another and really show this love for one another today? We are fortunate to have tarmac on our roads here in the South Bay, and most of us are fortunate enough to have socks and shoes. Our feet may be clean, but our lives are often messy and distracted. What is the mess that needs to be washed away from our lives? What practical act of service can we offer to others in our community to show that we care about them? And what can they do to show that they care about us? I think that offering the gift of being truly present to one another may be a modern day equivalent to foot washing. The gift of putting down our phones and other devices, hesitating for a moment before we send a text or post a cheerful picture on social media, to consider whether someone would prefer a phone call or an in-person visit. Foot washing today is making a practice of listening to people profoundly, without judgment, without trying to fix anything, just listening to the details of one another's lives and the emotions we express. Asking questions for clarification, and having empathy for one another. To show that we love God, love our neighbor, love our enemy, and love one another, we can make time in our busy lives to listen to God, listen to our neighbor, listen to our enemy, and listen to one another. And by doing this, we will grow stronger as a faith community, and people will know that we are Christians by our love.